Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, so we're not going to start off the show in normal way. We had a super fun show lined up for you. We had everything going the way that we wanted to. And then this huge news broke about 8 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Eastern time, that Qasem Soleimani, the head of Iran's elite military force, had been killed by the United States in an airstrike. Now, lots of people are going to say all these different things about Soleimani. And we want to be clear. One thing that we know about him is he is an enormous piece of shit. Thousands of people in Iran and Iraq and Syria are dead because of this man. He is one of the most powerful people, if not the most powerful people in Iran, or I should say was, because he's dead as fuck now. We took him out in an airstrike outside of the airport in Baghdad. Now, of course, because something like this happens, you have the immediate stunting of both political sides. And we talk about it a little bit more in round three, just on what happened at the embassy. But this takes it to a whole nother level. What happened is an act of war. And we talk about on this show that there's immense consequences for going to war and taking an action like this. To give you an idea, if you weren't paying attention to the news of what Soleimani means to Iran, this is basically, from what I've read and from what I gather, because I want to state from the jump, I'm not an expert in this. I don't know anything about global policies. Most of our stories on Zero Block 30 have to deal with platoon level, company level, maybe battalion level leadership. When you're talking about entire theaters, entire countries, and how they're influencing each other in different parts of the world, we are ignorant in those matters. We have to trust the reporting of people that we trust and read it from different sources and things like that. So when Soleimani is killed, this could set off a whole chain of events. We're going to see oil prices rise. We're going to see all different types of consequences from an action like this. We support the action of this dude being dead. Certain people on this planet deserve to be dead. Soleimani is definitely one of them. I am glad as fuck that he's dead. What I hope we've come to, and what I've seen so far on Twitter, is that there is going to be those lefties and righties that are wanting to make it about President Trump, or they're wanting to make it about war, and they're wanting to make it about this and that. We've got to think about, what is the action going to create? Are we going to go to war with Iran? Are we going to be doing all of this in a short period of time? Was it thought about? Was Congress consulted? There's so many questions that have got to be answered. That's why whenever we talked about it amongst the crew, the ZBT squad, we sat down together and we said, you know, are we going to get really into the weeds about what happened? And we're not. Because a lot of news agencies are going to do that. A lot of places are going to say, this is a fact, this is a fact, this is a fact. And the only fact is, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen. That's all we can say now, is that we don't know what's going to happen. But our job here on the show, and what I think that our show does, is that we try to be like the voice of the military and like kind of say what the military is thinking. We are nervous as fuck for the people that are on the ground. We know that there's people who listen to Zero Block 30 in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and in Africa and all across the globe. Every country that the United States is in and has soldiers and sailors and airmen and marine and Coast Guard in, people are listening to Zero Block 30. So we really wanted to tell them at the start of the show, if you're sitting there today and you're having a cup of coffee and you just got back to your bunk and you want to have a moment with your pals, we're thinking about you today. We're going to be thinking about you tomorrow, because the things that you and your family are going through are going to be stressful. And if you are feeling stressed out about it, you're not a little bitch. It doesn't make you a bitch that you're stressed about what could possibly happen. This is very different than what we've been going through for the last couple years. This is going to war with another state, with another country that is powerful, that has a decent military. This is something to be worked up over. This is something to pay attention to, and we're definitely going to pay attention to it on this show. That being said, we're not going to adjust the rest of the content of the show. We're going to hop right into it because we were back to be entertaining you guys, and hopefully we can get that. This is the earliest I think we've ever had to do this. But give me some Birdie Higgins. I'm excited to be back. It feels like forever since I've sat in here. Actually, when the Skype sound that plays whenever Barstool calls me, Skype sound, got me excited. I'm ready to be back in this seat, back for another fresh year of Zero Block 30. Big things coming. We have a new segment alert at the end of the show. I haven't even discussed it with my co-host of who it is, but I have picked the first recipient. I am keeping it deep down inside my brain. I'll reveal that at the end of the show. And today's show, we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one. In 2016, civilians were storming Canadian military bases at all hours of the day and night. And only now has the Canadian government released the reason for this mad rush. We'll give you a hint. You gotta catch them all. Eh? Round number two, a Navy veteran turned distant runner, Hardo, is set to circumnavigate the globe on foot. Just that alone makes me... That honestly... Yeah, he's doing it for suicide prevention, but there's not a chance he and I would be friends. This entire story makes me want to puke, even though I guess the reason behind it is great. Like, suicide prevention, obviously great, but circumnavigating the globe on foot, can we not? Round number three, story of the break was that the Marines needed to be sent to secure the embassy in Iraq after protesters led a violent action trying to overtake the embassy. The fallout was quick, but most likely isn't even close to over. Round number four, I hate to give North Korea any credit, but alas, we must. We have promised the listeners that we will always be honest, and in this round, we will praise North Korea, but just a little bit, because it's due. Round number five, Canadian Veteran Affairs Twitter asked some of their World War II veterans to give some life advice that might help in 2020. We are going to close out the first show by giving in some wisdom from those past heroes. And all of that today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Roman, because in 2020, we're fucking, folks, and we're fucking for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Roman swipes, yeah, we definitely are. Roman swipes are clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, and don't require a prescription. Even young Brent, he's a young fella. He texted me over the break, and he was like, Chaps, you're absolutely right. I thought you were pulling my leg because of all the ad reads that we do for Roman. He's like, I have never lasted longer. I was like, Brent, this is inappropriate. We still have a work relationship.
Right.
You need to keep that thing to yourself. That's not something that we really want to break into there. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipe out of the pack, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. When you go to GetRoman.com/zero, you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. And if you use the link GetRoman.com/zero.
Before the break, there was a group from what?
I think they're still out there posting up.
They're still looking for
a group from 3-6 that wasn't allowed on their holiday leave because they were missing some rifles. By all accounts, they're just skeletons now. They just were left there over the break until, so we'll have to figure out what happened there.
The best part of that story, so quickly, that story was that they were in a field op before the long break, which is prone to happen. You're going to get your last little bit of military shit out of the way. From what I heard, it was two boot lieutenants who lost their weapons. It wasn't even, it wasn't?
Oh, I'm saying.
No,
I'm
she's just shaking her head in disgust.
Oh, yeah, it was two boot lieutenants that left their, because usually Marines, you're supposed to, even if you go to the head, you go to the port-a-john. I'm sure soldiers and airmen and sailors the same way. If you're assigned a weapon, you carry that motherfucker everywhere. You never leave it anywhere. It's like a, it's like its own little troop. Like, you can't leave your weapon behind. You can't leave it in your tent whenever you're out. You got to strap it to your ankle. You got to strap it to your back. You got to take it with you. Apparently, two young boots, lieutenants, didn't do that, and they lost it. Can you... You will never get over that. If that is the case in your leadership, you're a brand new second lieutenant, your people will never, ever respect you again. Ever.
Well, counterpoint, didn't Colin Powell lose a weapon?
He did.
Colin Powell fake lost a weapon.
Okay.
And nobody had to go back for him. Like, the it was picked up immediately. It was the lieutenant colonel saved it and put it into his, like, pocket and kept it. He made Powell think that he lost a weapon, but he never actually did it. If you lose a weapon and you cause people to go on Christmas break or block leave late, that's as bad as it gets. At least Powell was in like a combat zone where you're already going to be there for a couple months. You're not going home anyways. Yeah. Like if you're trying to get on block leave and you make Lance Corporal whoever miss his flight or miss her flight because you lost your weapon, you didn't secure it properly. Man, good luck coming from. And if you're the second lieutenant who did that, and you're a listener. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
You don't bounce back from that because
it's going to be tough for you.
People hate second lieutenants as it is. You come in behind the eight ball as a second lieutenant. You don't get the benefit of the doubt when you walk into a unit as a second lieutenant. You start in the ditch, and you got to get yourself out just to get to even and then go above and beyond to prove to people that you're actually a good leader, a good officer, a good person. So you lose a weapon. Forget it. You might as well, honestly. I don't know, man. Go AWOL.
Take rocks.
Go AWOL. Never come back.
I'm just thinking of all the poor high school senior gals who are waiting for their PFCs and privates to come home and propose to them for the holiday, and now they got to wait.
You're right. You better be glad it didn't happen in prom season.
Indeed. I mean, my goodness. Can you imagine all those missing dates? But I woke up this morning. I have a very rare, because I'm a glass half empty lady.
Yeah, I know.
I woke up with a spring in my step. I woke up.
What would we attribute that to?
I did a vision board last night for the new year.
Oh, my.
With long-term and short-term goals.
Wow.
I decided I'm not wearing makeup this year. I'm just going to be
At all.
I'm just going to be a total dirt ball.
Okay.
Unless I'm like in someone's wedding or something and I don't want to ruin their day.
Sure.
By the way I look. But yeah, I think I moved into a new apartment over the break. So I have my own place now.
Mm.
So I can take a dumper with the door open.
Which is a treat.
The entire break, just luxuriating on the toilet.
Just shitting.
I just ate protein the whole
time. That's what you did on your two break. You get two breaks a year, and you spent one of them just shitting.
Oh, yeah. I was like a magician's sleeve who just had the stuff just kept coming out of my sleeve. I was just like, look at this. What a treat. So it was just so moving sucked, but once that was over with, to have my own spot and to just, oh, my God, what a treat. And I'm right next to an ice sculptor.
What?
Like a New York City ice sculpting studio.
Oh, a studio. Okay.
And so there's all these like ice sculptures that are just outside all the time. And there's like ice and you can craft your own beer mug and drink beer out
of it.
That's
pretty cool.
It's like a whole thing. What a treat.
Well, that's cool.
I know. So anyway, that was my break. I'm feeling like 2020 is a good, even for everyone listening right now, I'm picking up a vibe for all the listeners that it's going to be a good year for them too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you want to share some of the things that were on your vision board?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Okay. So long term, in the next few, I want to start doing my research so that I can either do a through hike of the Pacific Coast Trail or the Appalachian Trail.
Wow.
I know. I'm going to do one or the other all the way through. Going to have to talk to my boss about taking some time off work for that because it takes several months.
I don't know if that was going to work out for you.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to be doing any podcasting from the Appalachian Trail.
It's a long term. I didn't think it through yet, okay? I can come off the trail every week or two. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Then another one was to find my car.
You're kidding me.
No.
That one seems a little more doable.
Maybe it's doable. It's out there somewhere.
Okay.
Another is to just stop wearing makeup, and another one is more veggies, fruits and veggies, and to start walking every day. I live right next to the subway, but I'm going to start walking to a further one every day, the one right before it goes under the bridge into New York. So
No way. That one's not going to happen.
That one will last for about a week, and then, you know, the temperatures are going to drop. It's going to get frigid, and she said, all right, well, I'll pick this back up in the spring, and then it's just...
I think of those, you could be Katie Vegetables. I think that one could definitely happen. You are right around a bunch of places that have good salads and shit like that. You could do that for lunch. I think you could be Katie No Makeup. But Katie Trail Walker and Katie Far Away Subway, that's going to be tough.
Well, thanks for shitting all over my dreams. What's up with you guys?
Well, I don't know that necessarily just shitting. It's just...
No,
maybe
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
More realistic. I don't know.
How was your break?
My break was fantastic. Very uneventful for the most part. I was officiating a wedding the other night for New Year's Eve, so that was a first for me. So that was the fifth wedding I've done, and I got number six lined up for 2020. So that was fun. Interesting way to spend New Year's Eve. Although the DJ really kind of missed the mark. And just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's like, three, two, wait, Did we get an announcement? Did we get a heads up? Yeah. It was just out of nowhere. It was just like, hey.
10 minutes to lights, five minutes to lights. You got to give all those warnings.
It was also terrible. Very anticlimactic.
This just brought to mind, you have a lot of experience officiating weddings. I'm officiating a wedding Memorial Day weekend. Chaps, you're officiating a wedding coming up soon, and you have before.
Yeah, I've done several too, yeah.
Can we volunteer our services, like a ZBT charity, where we officiate military weddings? Here's the stipulation, though. You can only have known your partner 6 months or less. Those are the only weddings we'll officiate. And you have to be E5 or below. But if that's you and you're getting hitched, one of us will come and officiate your wedding. So hit us up. Yeah.
And don't poo-poo on that. That's how me and Annalise are. Like, mm-hmm. We were married very fast, and we've been happily married for 10 years. Here we are.
There you go. So, see?
I do have a divorce under my belt, too. So.
Oh, you and me both.
So just, you got that out of the way. That's why you're not divorced on this one. Right. You just got that out of the way. But what a crime to get married Memorial Day weekend and take that weekend away from you. I don't like when people do that.
As the pastor, I can't say neither here nor there on that. But, yeah. Chaps?
It was all right. I didn't do a whole lot. My mother-in-law was here for a great majority of it, and it just stinks when she's here.
She get diarrhea again?
Yeah. No, she didn't have diarrhea. She just talked about it. Like, talked about what she couldn't eat and all these different things because of her stomach. It was terrible. All right, let's get to the actual show.
Bren, no
one
cares about
number
your break.
One.
Yeah, I didn't think you guys would ask.
Oh, sorry, Bren. let's go into round number one. What do we got, Kate?
All right, well, seemingly out of nowhere, back in July of 2016, civilians started driving onto Canadian military bases at odd hours and wandering onto government property, distracted by their cell phone screens. And military officials did not know what to make of it. But aha! Pokemon Go, the augmented reality game, had soared to the top of the download charts. Within weeks, millions of people were chasing the digital animated creatures all over the world and going places that maybe they shouldn't. More than 3 years later, Canadian military officials have shared internal documents that show how the military, both curious and confused, reacted to this wildly popular app and Canadians storming their bases. Major Jeff Monahan wrote in an email, Please advise
the commissioners that apparently Fort Frontenac is both a pokey gym and a pokey stop. I will be completely honest in that I have no idea what that is.
Oh, yes. What is a pokey gym? Does anyone know? Oh, this is
apparently, we have a bunch of people from Old England living in Canada these days.
They do. He was, Major Monahan was flabbergasted. He was absolutely beside himself. He just could not imagine what a pokey stop was. At least three military police officers at different bases were assigned to wander around with their smartphones and notepads in hand to search for Pokemon, Pokestops, and Pokegyms. This was on three different bases. An actual job for a military member was to go Pokemon hunting, essentially. Wow.
See, this is what they should do with those boot second lieutenants. Just make them go, and that's their punishment. You can't find your rifle. Maybe you could find all the Pokestops and Pokegyms on Camp Lejeune.
This recruit found,
I'm picturing way out and like where the ranges are, where like heavy artillery hits and all that stuff. If there's a Poke Gym out there, too bad. You better go find it. Because
you know when Forrest Gump like walks on and he's on the ship for the first time, and Lieutenant Dan is like sitting on the dock with his like dangly legs, like not hanging there, but just sitting there, and Forrest puts his arms up on his back. That's what I imagine these people looking for Pokestops are like. They have their arms on their hips with the back, and they're like, I'm just looking for a Pokestop while they're on the base. And also, Canada, put a gate around your base. My God, what are
Seriously,
we doing?
Why would you ever think to not have some sort of sign, some sort of gate? Hey, live artillery range. Stay clear. Well, stay back 600 meters.
I don't know what their rules are, but sometimes people can go on, even on bases, there's still family housing. And I can see, they said at one point, one woman was found on base with three children, and they were all climbing on tanks. She was playing Pokemon Go. So I can see people who live on the base, like, let's take the kids out Pokemon hunting, and just having zero awareness of where they're at and what parts of the base they're on and like what they're doing.
This is so Canada, though, because they're probably just too nice to tell the people, exactly. Like, hey, you can't be here. You can't be searching for your Pokemon. They give them one excuse and like, oh, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. This is our grenade range. We'll hold off till you're done. was this guy, David Levenick. He's a security expert in at the base in Borden, Ontario. In an email, he said, we should almost hire a 12-year-old to help us out with this because they just did not grasp what the fuck Pokemon was. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more suspicious activity after that came out. The police responded to a vehicle acting suspiciously in a parking lot on a military base in Nova Scotia, only to find a whole car full of Pokemon chasers. So I'm sure this wasn't just in Canada. They said that across the country, even Saudi Arabia called the app un-Islamic. And Bosnia, they warned players to avoid looking for creatures near landmines that were left over from the 1990s.
That's just a good tip.
Authorities in Egypt and Russia warned the game could be a security risk, kind of like how here they're saying TikTok, you know, it's owned by China and our troops shouldn't be on it, blah, blah, blah. But I remember that summer of 2016.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Walking out of work the day it was released, and I had no idea. I don't follow any of that stuff. So I walk out of work, and I'm walking through Washington Square Park to get to the subway, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, oh, my God. Did I just stumble into the, like, zombie apocalypse? Mm-hmm. Literally, when I say maybe 700 people, like, there's almost 1,000 people just staring at the glow of their phones on their faces in the evening light, just like zombies wandering around the park. And I was like, what the fuck is
going
on?
Head down,
on?
Not looking where they were going.
Yeah, and like the local sushi place did. They made the rice and the little sushis to look like Pokeballs and this and that. Like, it was crazy.
I feel like I remember stories, too, about people getting hit by cars and buses and bikes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. People were getting hit by cars. They were doing all that. And they were, like, the economic boom that Pokemon Go created because companies like AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, people were going well outside their data plans.
Yeah,
like, people were buying different things, like buying add-on packs and doing different things. It was like a billion-dollar boom to the economy just by this stupid little app. But I do want to go back to the military side because can you imagine what, like, a first sergeant's face would be like if he saw you go out to the motor yard where they keep, like, all the tanks and shit, and there's some, like, seven-year-olds hanging out on the tank? Like, what their reaction
would be? What do you even think?
Well, also, it just occurred to me now, too, in the military, there's no walking on the grass. You know, in their spare time on the weekends, the junior enlisted were out there all over base looking for these goddamn Pokemons. Like,
and in summertime in Canada, the grass is as beautiful as the day is long. It's a bright, luscious green.
Oh, you know, it would be a great way to capture Pokemons and to capture new people into the military is to put a ton of, like, Poke Gyms and all that good stuff, like, right inside the base.
Right,
and
at recruiting stations?
If you're of age, and all the recruiting stations are like the key gyms and stuff where you have to go. Son, while you're here, why don't you sit down for a minute? You know,
you want to join the military? It's kind of like playing that video
Camp
game.
Camp Pendleton has a ton of Pokeballs.
See, what the military should have done is worked with the creators of Pokemon Go and be like, hey, you could still have your Pokestops here, but we want to do things that will help benefit the junior troop, too. Like, hey, we know, like, you pop up, it'll be like this old crusty first sergeant that pops up in the middle of the field. Be like, hey, before you catch them all, make sure you look both ways and you're wearing your glow strap when you're in the middle of the road. You just got to make it safer.
I agree. But I like that, though. It's something I didn't think about, the games like that and technology like that, like how they're saying TikTok's a security risk now. But all these different apps and games and all that stuff also affects our beloved military.
It does. Let's move on to round number two.
All right, round number two comes to us from our pals at Stars and Stripes. Did you guys read Stars and Stripes when you're in?
I read all the...
I didn't read anything when I was in.
Okay.
Yeah, I perused from time to time.
For sure. Anyway, Navy veteran Dustin Johnson was in despair. Not to be confused with the other Dustin Johnson.
Who's the other Dustin Johnson?
The golfer.
That was a test to see.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Can I say one more thing before we... I did read one. It was the Marine Times, but I always told my Marines it was bullshit. It was a liberal organization.
What?
They're brainwashing us.
Why?
Yeah, I was like, they're just a bunch of little bitches over at Marine Times. They want everything to get soft. I honestly believe that.
What made
that,
you say that?
I don't know. Just because always like side on the junior troops, or they wanted to have umbrellas or something. I hated it.
Oh my God.
Marine Times is going to be, and I would say, don't get it confused. This is not Commandant authorized. This is an outside organization. Just because it's Marine Times, it is not official.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Chaps back in the day, man, just complete 180
wild
from current
move.
Chaps.
What a wild.
Bunch of libtards over at the Marine Times.
They're trying to make my beloved Corps soft.
Fake news.
Anyway, Old Dusty here, he was already struggling with his transition into civilian life, and a fire burned his Missouri home to the ground in January 2019. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. It was the final straw for Johnson, who said he attempted suicide in the aftermath of the blaze. I lost everything that I owned, and that was like my rock bottom. A year later, on New Year's morning, the 25-year-old began an attempt at setting a record for the longest nonstop journey on foot, a 420-mile sleepless trek from Stuttgart to Berlin that will take about 6 days to finish. The endurance test is just one part of a broader effort by Johnson to raise awareness about preventing veteran suicides by running extraordinary distances.
So he's on this trek right now. He started on January 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on it right now. And I don't think that we need to have a qualifier on the show, but I'm going to give one anyway. I think that what he's doing and what he's overcome is great. This is not the way I would go about it. The idea of walking for 420 miles for 6 days straight is quite possible. Besides being eaten alive by ants or being burned alive, would be my next worst thing.
Would be nightmarish
for
you.
420 miles.
I think sometimes we all have, I know you said you'll never run. And he's running this.
Right.
He's like a distance runner. I think sometimes, especially when you're battling depression or having a tough time, to set a goal and to beat it and to surprise yourself is this, oh man, like that's fucking awesome. To have mm-hmm. that feeling of accomplishment is so huge. And to look back and be like, if I could handle that mountain of a difficult thing, like a crazy difficult thing,
right,
then I can handle the next ones that are coming my way. So I think people find all sorts of unique ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely not for me. Well,
Go to the next part. Not even that, the 420. The next part is even more insane of what he's already done.
Well, since April, Johnson also has been on a quest to become the first American to circumnavigate the globe on foot. So far, he's run more than 6,000 miles. When he is finished, the trip will add up to 16,400 miles across four continents. He estimates that his run, which will end in his home state of Missouri, will be completed by late November 2020.
Also, if you're doing something that's 16,400 miles, why in the fuck would you end it in Missouri? Like, pick a cool spot.
But that's where his whole journey began. That's where his home burned down and he hit rock bottom.
Started in Key West, Kate. Like, you started somewhere that's cool.
I love
Missouri.
That he's going to finish this trip around the world at his highest point.
In Missouri.
And he left it at his lowest point when his house burned down and he lost the will to live. And now he's finishing this mm-hmm. crazy trek here. That's awesome.
I think it's great because I think depression is somewhat of an abstract thing. You can't really pinpoint like, okay, yes, today was the day I beat depression. Or maybe you can. I don't know. But like doing something like this that's very concrete, black and white, to your point, Kate, how he was saying this is accomplishment that he can see and he can feel and feel good about himself. I really like it. It reminds me, my buddy Mike, who walked across the country for 1 kilometer for every service member that was killed in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think it is an interesting way to bring awareness to the topic that he wants to bring awareness to. Because we talk about suicide prevention, we talk about mental health, and sometimes it can just be a fleeting thought. But then when you see someone doing this and committing themselves to such an unbelievable journey, I think it takes hold a little bit more. So I like this. And that is saying a lot because he's a Navy guy.
And I think, too, as he goes around the globe to do this, he'll find that in every country, and in both military and civilian, in every country, it's an issue that a lot of people struggle with. So.
You got to be careful whenever you're walking across the globe, though. There's a lot of places that you don't want to end up.
Yeah,
across the globe.
Well, if you have a glow belt, you're fine.
He's probably got a glow belt. He's probably
that's
got
true.
A team with him that is keeping him safe, keeping an eye on him. He's almost positive that he's not alone by himself. And the other thing that I would venture to say he's probably doing, because he's not just going without stopping, that's humanly impossible, is when he stops, I'm sure he has scheduled locations where he's stopping, where maybe he's talking to people, and he's talking about the awareness for suicide prevention that he is so adamant about spreading that word. So I think more faceted than what it says here.
Hopefully we'll be able to connect with him at some point and hear how he's doing, what he's up to, and maybe this is something that we'll track on the show as he makes his way around the globe. But I thought
so
it was
if you're
crazy.
One of those stoolies in Bosnia and Herzegovina and you're waiting for somebody to walk through your neighborhood to talk about any issues, make sure you're following along with this fella.
Well, I thought it was crazy too. I did 2 half marathons and 1 full marathon, and I still don't shut the fuck up about it. I still talk about it. My nipples are still chafed, guy. You know, you got to really lube them up. So that was years ago. Anyways.
Wait, which ones did you do?
You could just Marine Corps marathon, Disney half marathon, and New York City half marathon.
Cool.
Yeah. Didn't train for any of them.
Showing lots of, I know, go ahead, Cons. I could see, what marathons have you run, Cons? I saw the look on your face.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Kate mentioned hers. That's enough for today. That's enough.
Go ahead.
New York City twice, Austin twice, 1 in Iraq, more halves than I can count.
It's like when Roger Rabbit was shaven, haircut, and he has to answer. It's like, oh, I ran these marathons. Anyway, that was us. Those are the few that we did that weren't even 30 miles, and we still both have to word vomit them.
Yes.
He's running about 30 miles a day.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
30 miles a day, like it's nothing. That guy, I did a pizza eating contest here a couple months ago against a guy who was, I think it was for a year, every day for a year, he was running a marathon.
Jeez.
Every day for a year. Like, holy shit balls. There's just people out there who are on a different plane of life than I am.
Yeah, they're just wired differently.
Yeah.
But indeed. I think this is fantastic.
I don't say this lightly, but I mean it. I honestly would rather cut my penis off than run a marathon every day for a year.
You know, I just watched that 2020 on What's Her Face. She chopped his dick off.
Lorena Bobbitt?
Yeah.
Let's move on to round 3.
He got it reattached and still did porn, so.
Good for him.
You'd be fine.
Those pipes are unbelievably.
Do you hear them?
The one right next to my desk is insane. It's insane. It sounds like somebody is just walking through with a crowbar playing the xylophone on the pipes.
I know. I remember when I was up there, I thought you were just kicking your seat. Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with you, Kay? Why are you doing this?
You would think I was just doing that, asshole.
Round number 3, easily the biggest story of what happened over the New Year's break. So we kind of want to set the scene a little bit in case you are living in a cave or you are living somewhere else that didn't have internet and you haven't seen, or you've just been taking a little bit of a detox. When I woke up on New Year's Eve, the first thing I usually do, sadly, is look at my phone. And because I follow so many military folks on Twitter, the news was right there in my face. If you've seen a movie like Argo, if you remember one of my favorite shows of all time in Homeland, they had this situation too, where an embassy in a foreign land, a U.S. embassy in a foreign land is attacked, where you have people and protesters that are surrounding the embassy, which are flanked and have Marines on top with long guns ready to fire if absolutely necessary on the ground. They essentially like a Beauty and the Beast type of situation where they have a battering ram at the door. There was a fire set inside the embassy. The people who are in these embassy had to be feeling an unbelievable level of fear because there was protesters that were at the embassy based on what America is doing on the ground there. Recently, there was a bombing that killed 26 people that America claimed responsibility for. There is so much turmoil that went back, and this was in the green zone too. Normally,
and this
in the
is
green
in Iraq,
zone,
to clear, yeah.
Normally in the green zone in Iraq, you don't have to worry about that type of thing, but it's here, it's now. So in response to that, the Marines sent in over 100 different troops, both in air and on the ground, to be able to minimize what was going on. And it worked. Having 100 Marines come in with Apaches and firing off flares and having the ability to take back control of this area on the ground, it worked. And what we are upset about is not the reaction that happened. Obviously, that is great. But there was an account that was called Vote for Veterans that is kind of like a leftist veteran group. Kate, what did they say? Do you have it?
So it was Vote Vets, and they got a lot of people upset over the weekend. They since deleted it, but it was a kind of thing where, and it wasn't just them. It was a bunch of other, groups and other veterans that were like,
and not like, even veterans too. Like it was other
civilians.
People in the media and shit
a lot
like
of
that.
Civilians and stuff like that. But they were like, enjoy your Benghazi, Trump. This is your Benghazi. You bitched about Benghazi. Like, here it is for you at your doorstep now. And it was just so incredibly tone deaf when at the time it was still ongoing and there were still people in the embassy and still people whose lives were in danger, both inside and outside the embassy. And it was just one of those things where you have U.S. troops putting their lives on the line for these people who are in danger, and maybe just shut the fuck up for a second and like...
And dude, think about it. Like, don't if something's going on, say something's happening in New York. Like, you guys have both lived in New York whenever there's a tragedy going on. Nothing like 9/11, but whenever something recently, like there, I think 2 years ago, there was a bombing that took place right by Dave Portnoy's office, and people in the New York office were checking their Twitter timelines to get current news from what's going on, because you'll get organizations from like the police department will post on Twitter of what's happening, areas that are safe. Imagine being one of the folks in this embassy and trying to get international news that is being relayed while you're stuck inside this embassy. You have real no outside, and you see people posting things like enjoy your Benghazi while you're living through that.
And that's, I'm just like, so that's not exactly what they said, but it was along those lines. And a lot of people, even my, because I have, there's, in my mind, there's vet bro Twitter, which leans right, and there's woke vet Twitter, which leans left. Both sides, even woke vet Twitter was like, not right now, guys. Like, yeah. Like, not, that's not the tone you want to take here. This is actually bad. And they corrected it, and they do other, you know, the progressive stuff for veterans is good stuff, but it was just so tone deaf. And it was something seen. Again, tweets like that were seen by both veteran, civilian, whatever, and it's like, just shut up.
Well,
like,
we've talked
everything
about before.
Has to be, not everything has to be a bump set where you can come in and spike President Trump.
I was just going to say, we've said before, we live now in this dunk culture where everybody just wants to get that moment where they can dunk on the other side or dunk on an individual, when the situation we're talking about here is just about human life, right? We don't care what else is going on in the world. We just want to make sure that this embassy was safe, these people were protected, and it doesn't have to be an opportunity to dunk on the other side. It's terrible that the people still want to go there. They don't have the brain capacity to turn that switch to say, all right, this isn't one of those situations that we should be talking about in that manner.
Yeah. And it's just a lot too. I'm interested to see how this plays out, because it was an Iranian backed militia who was responding to those US bombings over the weekend, I guess, but they they're clearly there and powerful, and there's a lot of them, and that just shows. I feel like on this end, where I'm at least me, I'm always surprised. I'm like, whoa, who's this group? Why are they pissed at us? And mm-hmm. then you look into it, and you're like, man, it's a lot going on over there. And like 82nd Airborne just got activated. A ton of them were just sent right over the holiday, at last second, spur of the moment, surprise. Like you got to get over there. So I'm interested to see, as things are heating up again, well, yet again in the Middle East, how everything's going to play out. But just,
and credit to those 82nd Airborne members who did that, because I think that a lot of times, because of past deployment schedules, we kind of forget what that intensity is like to be recalled and sent to a foreign land and with no notice. It's like, get right. your ass here, we're going, and we're going right now. I had to do that once whenever I went to Sri Lanka for a tsunami relief, and it was right when I first got to Okinawa, and I was scared out of my mind. It wasn't a combat zone. We were just going someplace. You have no time to get your family ready, because in a normal deployment, you know, 2 or 3 months beforehand to go. Yeah, you at the very minimum, and mm-hmm. you have time to get like your family care plan in order. You get, if something happens to your wife or your husband, like you get the parents involved and things like that. People know this type of call where it's like, get your asses over here, we might need you right now, is completely different. It's scary for the wives. It's scary for the husbands who are left behind. So we're thinking about you too. Thanks for doing everything. And shout out to those Marines who did the damn thing, that came in and secured it. Nobody was killed. Nobody was seriously hurt. And I think that is a testament to the type of training that those quick reaction forces do it. So shout out to them. That's all we'll say about this matter. We're going to move on to round number four. Round number four, you know, this one was tough. Like, when we were sitting there, we talk about the issues that we want to talk about on the show. This one was tough because we don't want to get the reputation of being the only pro North Korea military podcast on the market. I don't think that would be a good look. Can you guys agree?
I would agree.
It's a crowded market. A lot of pro North Korea podcasts out there. So it's like, why even bother?
Yeah. Especially in the military realm. People in the military fucking love North Korea. They constantly want to talk about it. But we are going to take a little bit of liberty here and praise them whenever it's due. Because North Korea, they were in the news over the holiday break again because they set a deadline for sanctions. If their sanctions didn't get lifted from their nuclear program, that they were going to give us a, quote, Christmas gift. Now, Christmas is long gone, but
like
maybe...
Like a blender? Yeah, like a NutriBullet?
Maybe, Probably, I would think the two biggest gifts that North Korea would send us, probably either like an Instapot. I think
they're
big Instapot. It's so easy to cook multitudes of things, and they just give us an Instapot. Maybe an air fryer, because they know that we're trying to watch our weight.
Healthy.
Oh, we got one of those in my house over the holidays. Was that's actually probably the biggest news.
North Korea?
No, it wasn't, unfortunately. I think Bed Bath & Beyond.
The air fryer?
Yes. Unbelievable.
What'd you cook on it?
We've done chicken one night, chopped up a potato, and just threw those bad boys like coin-sized potato, and it was like chips/fries. It was unbelievable.
So North Korea is threatening us with such
things. Yeah. Sorry.
So North Korea is like, if you
I had to jump in about my air fryer.
Stop fucking around, we are going to give you a roast beef and some delicious French fries if you don't let us make our nuclear weapon. Well, they're doing all these things. Nothing ever came of it. President Trump and Chairman Kim just keep going back and forth in the news. The same old song and dance. That being said, there was a picture of Chairman Kim whenever he was out in the mountains that is just absolutely beautiful. Because right now, whenever you talk about North Korea and their leadership, everything seems to have so much bluster. And that's not what we want to focus on. I had no idea that the landscape in North Korea was so fucking beautiful. Did you guys see the picture? Look at the picture.
Yes.
Let me set the scene. Let me see if I can do this justice. Because I'm really going to have to be like a real Ernest Hemingway here. Maybe even like I'm going to see if I can if I can set the scenes. Imagine, if you will, in the background is like Bob Ross came back to life. R.I.P. Bob Ross, Air Force veteran.
Long time stoolie.
And he
brick
painted
by brick Bob Ross.
A couple, just a nice little wispy range of mountain ranges just behind you. All the way in the backdrop with the beautiful, beautiful, bright blue sky right behind you. These snow-kissed mountains that are clearly designed to ski perfectly on. Cons would have loved it with this snowboard. There's deep shadows that are there showing you that the landscape is harsh but yet welcoming. Below that is the valley. You could see the valley take place. Right behind the valley, in front of the valley, right there, you see a couple little trees, a little forest of trees that have lost all their leaves because wintertime is here. You know wintertime is here because you see right in the forefront is a beautiful, beautiful, fresh little snow powder. And on this snow powder, there is 13 all-white horses mounted by members of the high levels of the North Korean government. In front and center is Chairman Kim wearing a nice little peacoat, right? Right, Cons? Wouldn't you say that's a nice peacoat?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little too long to be a peacoat.
God damn it.
Cons, well, can you just
you
work with
idea.
Me one time?
Can you work with them for one goddamn second. They got their little fur hats on.
And the best part about these all-white horses is that they're wearing like equipment like they just stepped out of Narnia. Like they look like they're Narnia horses on there. I had no idea that he was such an equestrian guy. It's just a beautiful picture. If I didn't know it was Chairman Kim and he was like a legit murderer and terrorist, I would put that picture up on my wall. It would pick like if I had the old Moose painting and that picture, they would go beautifully side by side.
There's something about dictators and murdery guys on horses, like Putin and Kim Jong-un, shirtless on horses.
Takes the sting out.
I will say, it does take the sting. It does a little something for me. I mean, if propaganda's propaganda, but
if
boy,
you love
is it working.
Horses, you know, it shows me that there's hope in humanity. Because if, like, if you... Well, if you love horses, maybe you can be... He just needs to go to counseling. Like, he's got that soft spot deep inside his body somewhere. Maybe we need to give him some help. Because if he loves horses, maybe he's not all bad.
I think this is a circus-type situation where the horse actually hates him and he hates the horse, but the horse is terrified because it knows better. Also, I think they photoshopped his horse in this photo to give it a longer neck and to be taller than all the other horses and look more noble.
You know what we should do? We should Photoshop the guy's eyes from Get Out on the horse.
All right. Here's the take. This picture kind of sucks.
Oh.
It's 2020. Bro, drop a filter in there. Come on. It's not that hard. I've seen plenty of people use filters.
It's a little bland.
It's super bland.
What the
it's
hell?
It has all the makings of a phenomenal photo and falls well short.
His horse should be rearing up and the coats should be a different color.
Yeah.
They don't have the best technology. They're barely getting the internet going there, Cons.
Like if they were all on Segways here, I'd be more impressed.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah, seriously. You know what? 90%
of the country doesn't have 24-hour power.
Listen, don't talk to me about the pain. Just show me the baby. I don't want to hear all these excuses about why they don't have this and why they don't have that. You want to put a picture out there to the world trying to stunt on everyone? You better come with a better filter than what they're working with right now.
I just feel like now our government horse agency, whoever they are, needs to be rounding up our best horses. Put Trump and the squad on a group and do a similar photo by the Rockies, or else we're going to lose.
You know what? President Trump, Esper, the Secretary of Defense, I need those guys on the fucking Budweiser Clydesdales. And
exactly.
I need
yes. Exactly. That would be the perfect Budweiser.
Take President Trump, yeah. Esper, bring back Mattis, Kelly, throw them in the Poconos, and yes. Show them what we got.
Exactly. 110%.
What would you have them wearing? Because it can't be a suit and tie. That wouldn't evoke the same image.
Oh,
what would they have
easy.
To wear?
Easy. You go down to the Smithsonian. You take the little exhibit that has Roosevelt and the Rough Riders, and you just take that and you yep. make the brand new one. You mm-hmm. make them the new Rough Riders.
I okay. was going to say velour, but it is Jumpsuit January.
All right.
I'd say that would be badass, too.
And we all know, because we've seen the tennis pictures of President Trump, dude's got a thick booty. You could say what mm-hmm. you want to, but he is thick with five C's.
A final note for me, I will say, they were talking about, you know, hitting us with nukes as our Christmas gift, and yet we're all... Everybody's just buzzing about this horse photo. They whatever they're doing, it's working. Round number five, bringing the good vibes in for 2020. Like I said, I woke up with a spring in my step this morning, and I have a very rare feeling of hopefulness. Mm. So I don't know what that means, but I just feel good about it. And something that made me feel even better was a post I saw on Twitter from Canada's Veterans Affairs. So Canada's VA. And
which is a great Twitter account.
It's a fantastic.
Like, I really like it.
So do I. They post like just really good stuff. We've had a few snafus with our own lately, but the Canada's just crushing it. And it was World War II veterans sharing their advice for happiness in the new year. And these guys, a lot of them, almost everybody in this, I think, was aged like 95 to 100. So they've had about 100 laps around this sun. Mm-hmm. That's how it works, right? We go around the sun. Mm, that's yep. a year.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Science. but... They shared their advice and with these great photos of these different men who had served. So I just wanted to read a couple of them. And
I wish they had side-by-sides. That's the only thing that I wish they would have done.
Oh, what
side
they
by
used
side,
to look
what
like.
What they used to look like and what they
right.
look like now.
So
get it together, Canada.
David Lloyd Adlington, 100 years old, was a Lance Sergeant in World War II. He said, "Treat people as you want to be treated. Be kind. Be thoughtful. Hate will eat you up. Also, play lots of golf."
Love
great
that.
Advice.
So
there you go.
Great advice.
That's great advice. And
man,
you
these
look
people
at these...
just have such good names. David Lloyd Adlington?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
Well,
what a name.
And in these photos, you can see that these men have tons of medals. Like, none of them are extremely high ranking or anything, but they have a ton of medals. So to mm-hmm. know what they went through in World War II was something probably mm-hmm. absolutely life-altering. So to hear them at age 100, at 94, 95... still having these positive and hopeful outlooks is pretty cool. So,
and their photos, they look like they're really carrying themselves with a lot of pride.
Yeah, very, oh, yeah. very cool photos. Jack Rossiter, 94 years old, World War II veteran, said, "Read your history books. It's important to know your past." And I think that's always a very important reminder as we get rushed through with life that forget to look backwards. And I think the new year is good for that, too. Like, I really took some time over the last couple of days to reflect and to really kind of focus on what's important. And, you know, and I'm going to be reading more history books. I love David McCullough mm-hmm. books. I'm going to be cracking back into those, whatever.
Katie so, Newleaf is here.
I just feel like, I don't know. I don't know what it
you
is.
You do. You look bright today.
I know. I feel just chipper. It's the cutest two buttons. William Peter Stoker, 93 years old. He was a Lance Corporal in World War II.
When did buttons become cute, too? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah, well,
like,
when cute as a button.
I'm cute as two buttons today, folks, so watch out.
That's a good question. I would like to know. Like, I don't look at a button and think, wow, that's cute.
Well, you don't
probably the Depression era, honestly. I bet that's the Depression era. Like, you don't have anything. It's nothing but gray clothes, old wool. They're like, oh, this button, man,
cute
that's
as
fantastic.
A button.
Yeah, all
you
right,
got a
that
pink
works.
Button.
Well,
that's
I feel
cute.
Like we don't really do buttons anymore. Like, nobody right? does fun buttons. My grand
maybe
used to
should.
Have like a
maybe
whole
maybe we
thing.
Should like how KFC has his own fashion line. We'll have a ZBT one with just like all different kinds of bright, crazy buttons.
Buttons.
Or
tuned.
Yeah,
that's our lane.
All right, let's keep going through the list.
Well, William Peter Stoker, age 93, he was a Lance Corporal. in World War II. He said, be positive. You have a future ahead of you, but you have to make it. And war does not make sense. It does not achieve our purpose. Our former enemies are now some of our closest allies and friends. And I liked this one because I think especially now in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're talking about, we're hitting like 20 years of this war in Afghanistan, and the Afghanistan papers came out, and I think a lot of us were really disillusioned, and what does it mean, and what's the point, and this and that. Oh my God, it seems like, just be positive. There's a future ahead of you, and war does not make sense. It doesn't, but... You know, and who knows how down the line we could become allies with some of these people. Things could change. Who knows? But just stay positive and keep moving forward. That's really all you can do. You can fret and worry and all these things, but also just stay positive. Keep moving forwards. I like this one from Vernon W. Dowie, 99
Love
years
the name
old.
Too. Vernon is an unbelievable name. Mm-hmm. My next dog's name is probably going to be Vernon.
Vernon, such a good name. He was a private in World War II. Small comforts mean a lot in life. After 234 days on the front line, a soft pillow meant a lot to me.
That's unbelievable.
And the things that we take for granted and the little things. I think I'm the kind of person, again, I'm like a glass half empty. I fret the little things instead of looking for little things to enjoy and like celebrate. And I hope this year I do more of that, like looking at the little, like I love my little hot cup. Every morning I get my little hot cup of coffee and I sip it on the train while I listen to music. I love that. That's a little thing that's like just a goddamn delight.
Mm-hmm.
Focus more on stuff like that. Gordon Howard Fennell, 97 years old, trooper in World War II. Absolutely.
And he is stacked. Like his fruit salad is nice. He's got
it
a good
is
one.
Nice. He said, let small problems be small problems. Not everything is life or death. And some of us know this all too well. That from somebody on the front lines in World War II. Right. Certain things are not life and death.
It's good perspective
and
there.
To let it go. Jack Callowhill, 96 years old, a private in World War II. Be good to yourself. It will get you to 96 years old. And don't be so hard on yourself. If you're listening, and last year was a rough one. I know it was a rough year for a lot of people. 2019 was kind of a crusher for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Be good to yourself. You're allowed. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're a good person. Keep your head up. That's Katie positivity, man. I
love it.
I read these. I saw these photos and imagining what these men went through in World War II. And now to deal with, I'm sure when you're close to 100, life is not easy.
Yeah.
Once again, you're facing a lot of struggles. And to hear them be so positive and still have pride, even though the war was a terrible thing, to have this pride in their service still and their brotherhood here. And I don't know. I just really loved that. Positivity. Heads up.
Positive attitude will take you a long way. PMA, yeah. Positive mental attitude.
Indeed.
There you go. All right, we're going to move into a little bit of a new segment that we teased on Twitter a little bit. All right, so let me kind of set the scene for what is going on with this. Because, Kate, why don't you explain what Firewatch is first?
Firewatch is...
Because we've been doing a lot of Firewatch jokes, and I want like the civilian listener to be kind of brought into the loop on what Firewatch is.
So say... You are at boot camp and everybody has to go into, you all leave your rifles stacked outside and all your gear and everything, and everybody has to go into an auditorium. There will always be a couple people left on Firewatch, people who have to stay behind to watch all the gear. Or if you're out in the field doing training all night long, there's Marines or soldiers, whoever, on Firewatch. The people who stay awake in shifts to watch the gear. Firewatch.
You're on duty, essentially. But
you're on duty.
But Firewatch, the term, kind of denotes junior troop, too.
Right,
like,
you're lower enlisted.
You could be like a brigadier general and be put on like duty for like base duty or whatever. But if you're on Firewatch, it's usually a very junior thing. Is that a term in the Army, Cons? Is Firewatch a term in the Army?
Yep.
Yeah, and sure you're the lookout, pretty much. You're the lookout.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad it goes cross services because I didn't want it just a Marine thing. Mm-hmm. So we are going to take people... And who do stupid things, because a lot of times if you do something stupid, you'll be given an extra shift of Firewatch, right, Kate? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Or you'll be given the worst shift of Firewatch. So from
do you think it is?
I'd say the like 2 to 4 in the morning, where like you know you won't get good sleep leading up to it because you'll be stressed, you'll oversleep, and then by the time it's done, you maybe have an hour, and then you know you have to get ready anyway, so you're like fucked.
I think the worst shift is the third shift. So the third shift of Firewatch, if they're an hour long, you have the third shift. That's probably the worst because that one's going to be right at around midnight, mm-hmm. or the second to last. Because then you're going to get in bed and you're going to have to get back out in like 50 minutes, and that stinks. So that's the worst one. Now, we are going to go through the internet. This doesn't have to just be a military person. You're about to see it. So this week, we have big time masses take place all across the world whenever the new year is rang in. So Pope Francis apologized Wednesday for his widely viewed slap of a woman who grabbed his hand as he greeted the Catholic faithful on New Year's Eve. The image of Pope Francis slapping away the free hand of an admirer was viewed on social media. There is one website, just one alone, that the Pope slapping away the woman's hand who tried to grab his hand, 15 million views on that one.
A lot of views.
And you got to know, when you're the Pope, that all eyes are watching you. Sure, he's 83 years old. He is a kind man. You don't rise to that level without being a very kind man. But he's got to know the cameras are on him at all time. And what do we do, Kate? We keep our hands to ourselves, right?
He did a McBat move. He broke contact. He broke contact.
He had a bit of a scowl on his face, too, when he did it.
People don't know. Pope has a tan belt.
I would say that the Pope, in that sense, would you say that incredulous was the right word there? He became a little incredulous?
Incredulous, indeed.
And so much so that the Pope issued a statement. And he said that, look, everybody gets annoyed from time to time, which is true. Even if you're the Pope, you're going to get annoyed with people. You are human.
Jesus flips
and
tables.
He is known as a germ guy. He doesn't like germs. He doesn't like people kissing his hand like his tradition. One, because he doesn't believe in that. But two, he's also a bit of a germ guy, people have said. That being said, he did slap somebody's hand away, and he knew that he made a mistake. He apologized for it, but I don't think that's enough. So, Pope Francis, you have Firewatch, bitch.
Wow.
Big coot, whatever your name is, I know you have no Firewatch. Therefore, I fixed that tonight.
Hi, sir.
Pope Francis.
Wow, starting off hot.
Firewatch. As a Catholic cons, how you feeling?
Oh, man. Well, you know, sometimes when you do wrong, you got to pay the consequences. So although he's the
lead
closest
the
thing
front.
We got
that's
to God.
Say, right, Cons?
What's that?
Lead from the front.
That's it. So, hey.
Wow.
He
Pope
needs
Francis,
to know better.
Third shift Firewatch tonight. Cons, since you're the one here in that world, you're going to need to reach out to the Vatican and let them know.
I'm on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Let's move into safe rounds and alibis. We'll start with Bren. We left Bren out on the Christmas recap, so we'll start with young Bren. What do you got, Bren?
So I got a doggy bag for you. Obviously, I spent my entire break pretty much, you know, puppy sitting. My family got a new puppy, adorable Bernese Labradoodle mix, rambunctious as hell, ton of energy.
Daisy, right?
Daisy, yep.
So cute.
So how do we get her to stop biting? And how to have her bark less. Not totally stop barking, because she, like, barks to, like, let us know that she's got to go outside or that she's hungry.
Chaps.
She does communicate.
Bren's hands are tore up from the floor up.
Yeah, I got a ton of puncture wounds. I got, you know, just a lot of bite marks on my hands. How do we get her to stop biting?
All right, well, two things. One, because she is a puppy, she's not going to like any vibrations around her neck. I recommend for barking inside an apartment or a house, you get a vibrating collar, like not a shock collar, but it just vibrates whenever they bark. So put that on them. If you don't stop the barking within the first, like, 6 months of the dog's life, they will always be a barker, essentially. It'll just become ingrained in who they are. But if you can stop it early, they won't be a bark. I think I've heard Gus bark like 3 times in his whole life. He never barks. Two, this one's big because it's cute. Everybody thinks it's so damn cute. Ooh, look at my little puppy biting my hands. It's so cute. That shit's not cute. They grow up, their teeth become strong, and they'll actually hurt somebody. So in a dog's mouth, there is a ton of nerve endings right in their palate, like right above their tongue on the roof of their mouth. Whenever they do that, if they open their mouth around you at all and put their teeth on you, take your two fingers, put it on the outside of their nose and your thumb right in the roof of their mouth and press up almost until they yelp and becomes uncomfortable for them. When you do that every time that their mouth is open, they are going to instinctually be like, nope, don't want that. So then they will stop.
Interesting. Yeah, she's gonna be huge. She's gonna be like easily 100 pounds. Like,
yeah, you don't want her biting even playing, because she's gonna be when she's 7-8 months old, that bite is gonna be strong.
Yeah, I mean, the teeth are razor sharp now, but they're the baby teeth, and then I'm sure that the stronger teeth come in, and she will be able to mess somebody up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say something about young Bren. Holiday party photos, all this and that. On ZBT and on his personal account, and people chirping at me lately, the ladies, Bren, have been like, wait, Bren's hot?
I think the Roman rumor is out there.
The Roman, so he's swiping up, guys. Bren's swiping up in 2020, so hop to duties. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, room's full of empty Roman swipes.
All right, cons?
Yeah, hey, shout out to Army Hockey. Top 20.
I mean, Army football didn't make a bowl game, so he's going to go
to
Army hockey.
Congrats to Navy, by the way. Congrats to Navy.
Yeah, what a season. Wow. Mm. No, 2020, man, hey, I know obviously we utilize social media for the lifeblood of this show, but I think with everyone's social media, I think we should do a better job and maybe not share so much. Like if you go to a concert, I don't need to see that entire concert via your Insta story.
Okay.
If people wish you a happy birthday, I don't need you to repost all those so I can see who wished you a happy birthday.
Okay.
I don't care what kind of baby you're having, boy or girl.
Mm.
I actually really don't even care. Unless you're my close friend and you text me, I don't care about people having babies.
Okay.
Keep that to your friends.
Well, you try getting your taint ripped in too. Okay. Well, that's all right. That's fine.
So I'm just saying, hey, 2020, be a little more conscious.
I guess we're taint shaming in 2020.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or cons can just keep it scrolling. Keep it scrolling.
Keep it scrolling. Yeah. My goodness. Wow.
Mm. In 2020, I'm trying not to get annoyed by little things. What do you got, Kate?
That's it. I'm just still feeling good vibes. I'm just sending out love vibes to all the listeners. I'm just feeling, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Something's in the air. Hope I'm not knocked up by accident. I'm kidding. That's a joke. All right. Chaps?
All right. My save round. I talked about it on Twitter. I went to the doctor this week because I wanted to get back on some antidepressants and back on some other different types of meds, and went and made an appointment. And I think a lot of people who are in the military community, around the military, really commiserate with this idea. It takes so much for me to go to the doctor. Like if I get to the point where I'm like, okay, I got to go see somebody, things are bad. Like things are... not like, it's not like I'm going there to get a Band-Aid. It's got to be something that is going to be worth my time for me to go. Like, yeah. I have to be damn near having an asthma attack before I'll go get a prescription for an inhaler. It's just who I am as a person. Well, I went to my appointment on base here at Lackland, and the doctor there accused me essentially of trying to just get drugs. I've never in my life tried to get drugs. In fact, I've turned down drugs most of my life. Like whenever you look back throughout my medical records, I have never once requested a painful medicine. I was in boot camp when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, just had Motrin. After I got shot, the recovery, I just used Motrin for that. I don't like painkillers because addiction runs pretty wide in my family, so I avoid it. And to be accused of that really, really stung me. Like to my core, it stung me to the point where I was probably the maddest that I've been in a long, long time to be accused of something like that. And then on top of that, I expressed my frustration to the doctor and didn't yell or anything like that. I was pretty calm whenever I was in there. But she said, if you don't like the care, you could take yourself down to the VA.
Like, what that, a horrible thing to say.
Right. Like, one, implying that all the VA does is give out medicine is fucked up. Like, that's a terrible thing to say about the providers that are the VA. And two, I earned the benefit of going to the doctor on base for me and my family and pay for it, but I earned it. Like, I was retired from the military because of what happened to me, so I earned that fucking benefit. And I posted about it on Twitter, and this is why I say that, because the community that we've built here through ZBT was unbelievably supportive to me, and I wish that veterans across the landscape felt as supported as I do. When I looked through my DMs, it was options of different places to go. I had several mental health care counselors reach out to me and DM and be like, hey, if you need to come in for something acute, you can come into my office today or we could talk on the phone. There was people that were reaching out and showing me organizations that were not just Headstrong, but other organizations that are smaller that are doing the same type of things in multiple cities around Texas that were trying to get me in. People who were in school saying, you can come up to the UT Austin. We would love to have a team sit down with you and discuss how we could do better. I think that is what our energy needs to be in 2020. A lot of times I could have just left it there on the Twitter timeline and been consumed by what happened negative. But there are so many people out there who are willing to help, who want to help. just say you need the help. Once we get to the place that we could do that, we don't have to be superheroes. We don't have to constantly be warriors. We have to, like Kate said, we have to look out for ourselves. If we want to reach 96 like those men in Canada did after going through World War II, we have our own battles going on in our brains. Let's reach out to people because there is folks that want to help. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more with the positive energy in 2020. Sound the retreat.